President Obama made a brief visit to Saudi Arabia today. The high-level delegation paid respects following the death of King Abdullah. The quick visit was also aimed at building ties with the new monarch, King Salman. The BBC's security correspondent, Frank Gardner, was at the event today and breaks things down for us.
This is, although brief, a very important summit between King Salman, the newly appointed king of Saudi Arabia following the death of Abdullah, and President Obama, who's spending only a few hours in the country, but bringing with him a delegation of 30 people, including his wife, a number of previous secretaries of state. He's bringing the head of the CIA, John Brennan. This is a very important strategic ally for Saudi Arabia, but there are concerns and strains beneath the surface. The most important one, in my view, is that they differ on the necessity of getting rid of President Bashar al-Assad of Syria. The Saudis are going to say privately, look, you're never going to be able to deal with ISIS while Bashar al-Assad is in power.
There's another elephant in the room as well, human rights. I'm talking, among other things, about the blogger sentenced in Saudi Arabia to 10 years in prison and 1,000 lashes. 50 of those lashes have been carried out. What Raif Badawi did was write on his website, Free Saudi Liberals, as a way to stir debate about religion and politics. Certainly President Obama was aware of the case. He told CNN before his trip that even when the U.S. has to talk with Saudi Arabia about the immediate concern of terrorism, human rights is still on the agenda. Difficult to know whether Obama today brought up with the royal family the idea put forward in a letter by Professor Robert George. He teaches philosophy of law at Princeton. He's also vice chairman of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Can you tell us, Professor, what you said in your letter to the Saudi ambassador to the U.S.? You wrote this letter prior to the death of King Abdullah, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And I was joined in the letter by six of my colleagues on the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, although we did not write in our official capacities. Each of us is independently a human rights, religious freedom advocate, activist, and we were writing in our individual capacities. What the letter said was simply this: what is being done, the abusive punishment of Raif Badawi, really truly amounting to torture that might result in his death, 1,000 lashes, is not only inhumane, it's deeply unjust and contrary to international agreements that the Saudi government has itself signed on to. So we ask the Saudi government, please remit the punishment of Raif Badawi. Do not carry out any more lashing. And if you will not heed our words on this, if you insist on carrying out the punishment, the full 1,000 lashes, then each of us asks, we would each take 100 lashes. To spare him at least that portion of his punishment.
Is this a symbolic gesture? I doubt it. Or would you and the signatories actually take the lashes?
You don't make a request or an offer like this unless you mean it.
Yeah.
Now, will the Saudis accept the offer? I don't think so. It would be profoundly embarrassing to them to do this. But we want to embarrass them about what they are doing to Raif Badawi.
Is there anything in Saudi law or even Quranic law that suggests a volunteer can take the punishment for a convicted person?
I don't know. I'm certainly not an expert on Quranic law. And of course, there are many different interpretations of the Quran. The Saudi interpretation of the Quran generally is quite different from interpretations offered by other schools of thought within Islam. The Saudi regime follows a fundamentalist school of Islam and Quranic interpretation. It's called Wahhabism. I dare say that most American Muslims, for example, whether they are Sunnis or Shiites, would reject that kind of fundamentalism.
I noticed that you begin your letter to the Saudi ambassador kind of complimenting the Saudi government for going to Paris to march in the Solidarity March after the Charlie Hebdo shootings. I suppose you see that as evidence that if they support freedom of speech in one case, they have to support it in all cases?
That's right. I mean, it's hypocritical of them to march in solidarity with the victims of terrorism and persecution for speaking their minds in Europe, and then to practice that same abuse of people for speaking their minds, for exercising their religious freedom, their freedom of speech in their own country. I would also add, Marco, that the Saudis seem to care about their international reputation. We have learned from past experience, some of which involve behind-the-scenes negotiating. Saudis really do believe it's in their interest for the world to think well of them, or at least not think too badly of them. So we're hoping that by elevating the profile of the Badawi case and of the grotesque abuse of this prisoner of conscience. That will cause the Saudis, perhaps with some face-saving device, to say, look, okay, he's had 50 lashes. Well, we're going to, as a matter of mercy, remit this punishment. We'll take what we can get. I don't care what story they tell themselves or try to tell the world. We want the abuse of this man to stop.
You said that you haven't heard any reaction from the Saudi government to this letter that you signed with the others. What about the U.S. government? And do you think Obama brought it up in his consultations with the royal family?
I pray that he did or that he does. I, of course, have no way of knowing whether that is or was his intention. But he sure should be doing it. Now, I know he is there in the aftermath of the death of the king. There are diplomatic niceties that have to be observed. But we have leverage. We are an important ally for them, just as they are important to us.
Robert George, Vice Chairman of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Thanks very much for speaking with us today.
My pleasure, Marco. Thank you very much.